Hello, I'm Catherine Olson. I know a lot of you, and you, but not all, so you know, it's good to greet. So as Nate said, I shared a lot of these thoughts with the youth of the middle school and high school age on Wednesday night, which, and just hanging out with them, no offense, it was even more fun because we got to play games led by Betsy. And it was just, I got to see my friend Rochelle and meet a new facilitator, Kara, and meet all of these fabulous youth. And Sarah was there. She was very patient with me. Fabulous dancing. Just saying, we had a good time. So you know, it's good to, you know, that was the main event, and now you guys are kind of the after party. But so one of the things that, I was asked, like, have you been experiencing God lately? How have I been experiencing God lately? And one of the big focuses for me was around identity. So before COVID, I don't know if you guys remember, we had time before COVID, let us all recall. Before that, about a month before everything went down, I was like, finally, I'm gonna step away from live theater. I've been an actor and an opera singer for a while, and I had felt God for like a year being like, hey, I think I have some other things for you. And I was like, okay. Oh, but they offered me this role I'd really like. Oh, but this opportunity came up. Oh, and I got a little distracted. So finally, I came to that point where I was really ready to release live theater for a while and do some other focuses in my life. And then live theater closed for like, 2 years. So it was fascinating to all of a sudden be in this position of watching my friends and colleagues really mourn, really go through such a challenging time. And like, they had to put down this thing that they love and depend on. And then I was like, ooh, I kind of signed up for this. What an interesting variety of experiences here. So, I had that experience, but like so many of my colleagues in theater and in all other genres of work that were affected by the pandemic, we had this big part of our identity, we might attach to our identity, our career, taken away or significantly changed in how we experienced it. And it took some time for me to do some research around that, like, okay, I can't just say, here's what I have on my performance calendar coming up. That's who I am. That's what I have going on. I had to find a little more, and I had to realize that I was doing some I had some dependency on those answers. Because you get a bunch of actors in a room, they don't mean to do it for the most part, but they're like, what do you have coming up? What can I see you in? What are you doing? How can I support you? And there's this pressure, right, to give an answer, to give a, I have this performance. Yeah, I'm legit. I'm not an imposter. So identity has been an interesting little thing to explore for me in the past few years. Not that it's only been then, because the ancient Greek saying, know thyself, has always been important for me. For me, if I am more aware and honest about who I am and what I am experiencing and feeling, I have a lot easier time not being selfish. I have a lot easier time being honest with the world around me and interacting with people in an honest way. So it wasn't totally new, but it was an emphasis in my life right then. And I was wondering, okay, what is a verse around this? What is a Bible verse that I can go to with this? And you know, I thought of Genesis. I went to the Great Book of Concordance and remembered Genesis 1:27. So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. This is where my brain goes, oh. Because I've heard this verse weaponized. Unfortunately, I've heard this verse used to exclude or to limit people. That's been my experience. So my body goes, no, and I close up and I fight and I say, oh, this is not helpful. This is how a lot of my experiences with the Bible go, especially since 2016, especially since our challenges as a Northwest Yearly Meeting. Instead of an openness and an exploration with the Bible, I have a distrust because of some of the ways that I feel I saw the Bible used instead of explored, investigated. So that part of me comes up, right? That past minor trauma, you could say. So skip to me reading in the past year, me reading some books by Malcolm Gladwell. Malcolm Gladwell is a journalist from Canada. He's such an interesting guy because he asks really good questions. Rarely do you get to the end of a Malcolm Gladwell article or book and say, ah, I know a definitive answer. But you have heard some really interesting exploration of these questions, and you have more to think about. So Malcolm Gladwell, in his book that I was most recently reading, What the Dog Saw, he talks about a puzzle versus a mystery. So he describes a puzzle as something that is finite, something that once you have enough information, you got the answer. There's a definitive answer, there's a right or a wrong, there's a black and a white. It's clear. Thank you, Wordle. Thank you, crossword puzzles. Or just jigsaw puzzles. Like, we have many of these, right? And you all have to solve puzzles of some kind on a daily basis, I'm sure. Then we have a mystery. A mystery is something that even if you have all of the info, you might not ever find a definitive answer. A mystery is something that is expansive. It fuels further pondering and study and examination, and it's something that even if you have, so really like the more info you have, the harder it is to answer. And it might be dependent on things in the future. It's taking ambiguities and organizing them in a way that works for our brain, but doesn't necessarily conclude with some definitive answer. So we've taken that puzzle and mystery, those definitions, and really been blessed to notice how my thinking can be puzzle thinking or mystery thinking. Like we go back to our Bible verse, for example. I can go and I can have puzzle thinking. I can think, ah, this is a definitive list, male and female, God created them. Those are the only ways that God's image can be expressed. So that is, you know, he's given us a definitive list. Check, check. Or I have a mystery thinking, which is, isn't it interesting that God gave us two examples on a list of infinite possibilities? Because when I'm thinking about the image of God, the identity of God, that is just the greatest mystery that I could imagine. There's more questions there. And I have to identify this thing that, again, it goes with some of my church-related trauma, puzzle and mystery thinking. I also think of different than faith. Because sometimes maybe I've used or I've seen the word faith used as, we don't know. Guess we'll just let it be. Whereas mystery thinking is, we don't know. Now let's keep investigating. Keep going. The scientists who can find passion in exploring what a black hole is and does and leads to don't know. They know they're dealing with the mystery. They know that it's super unlikely they're going to get all the definitive answers in their lives. But they never stop collecting data and pondering. And that is how I want my faith to be. Mystery thinking. Not a checklist. Don't get me wrong, I love checklists. I just don't want to be limited by them. The more I think about mystery thinking, a mystery mindset, if you will, I notice that there are, man, my life abounds with mysteries. My children are a mystery to me often. You saw Wally. Broke his arm. It's a mystery. Why? How can I be truly present for them in a way that serves their needs? That's always a mystery to me. It's further evolving, and it depends on the future. Like, there's not going to be answer. I'm not going to have all the data now. That's a mystery that I'm called to continually ponder and pray over and study, but never fully comprehend. There's other mysteries. How do I show up for the broken, beautiful people in my life in a way that's both generous and protective of my own spirit and well-being? I love boundaries. And boundaries are a mystery that I will keep exploring and pursuing. I think of climate change, and I see that I'm both part of the problem and part of the solution. I'm living in the mystery. How can I help move my community through and past our racist history so that the people I love, who we love, who don't feel safe here, don't have to move away? So, the way I see it, identity is also a mystery. It matters that I pay attention to it because it helps me live honestly and faithfully in this world, and also maybe because knowing me helps me better know the God in whose image I was created. And maybe am being created. And no matter how I try to write my list, here is my identity, my checklist, it's never conclusive, right? I can make it really, really long and drawn out, like, okay, daughter, sister, friend, student, partner, mom, teacher, female, bisexual, actor, vocalist, funny, person, smart, improviser, community. There's so many. I'm never gonna get them all, right? Okay, you guys show me your list. Tell me, let's make a list together. Hold on. What would be some of the words? Look, these are words. What would be some of the words that you might associate with your identity? Child of God. One-handed typing.
Father.
Teacher. Come on, Larry, I know you got one. Paul? Silas Olson, what are some of yours? I'm just gonna call you out. That's right, we're on Zoom, I can do that. Just unmute, put it in the chat, it's fine, we'll see it. What are your words? You can use adjectives too. Are there adjectives that you hold that are part, that really kind of have been a way that you think of yourself, your image of yourself?
Creative.
Yes. We'll get to that, yes.
Improviser. There's some in the chat, Catherine.
Ooh, how do I see the chat? There it is. Stick. Okay. When I'm screen sharing, I don't know how to see that. Oh, there it is. Look at that. Athlete, yes. Snarky. Silas says that about himself, not about me. Just to be clear. Snarky athlete.
Visionary.
We've got a few musicians in this room. Healer.
Resourceful.
This
isn't necessarily
a people pleaser. So that's, I totally planted Karen. That was a plant. Okay. Because we have these things, right? We have ones that we feel good about, and we have ones that maybe we don't want to shout out loud in the sanctuary or write on a public chat, right? We have ones that whether we've given them to ourselves, whether they've been assigned to us by others, there are some that we had broken people in our lives and they gave us those words, doing the best they could, but out of brokenness. We have some words or labels that maybe somebody with the absolute best intention gave us, but they don't fit or they don't serve us. Those are confusing ones because sometimes they just sneak right in under your skin. They get stuck on your heart and we don't even realize they're there until we start to do some exploration. So with that, I brought, and also another category to offer of words. Sometimes I have a word that used to be true and is still good and great for other people, like live theater actor. It's just not mine right now. It's not serving me right now. So I brought a prayer activity that y'all can do at home, but safely. Let's talk about that first. We have some papers up here, and I would love for you to come get a piece of paper or five and a writing utensil, or to write it down at home if you are a Zooming human. And if you find that you have, we could go to that. So there's like a slide right before the queries, Jessica. You find if you have some of those words that you notice that don't serve you right now, or maybe they never had, then you can come up and you can write that word down. And then we're going to go out these doors. We're going to go back. There's a guy named Nate here. I don't know if you've met him, Nate Macy. Nate is going to be our fire tender. And with a magical little fire item. I think there's a slide right before this, maybe? There might not be, it's okay. We're gonna burn those pieces of paper. Now, this is what I was most excited about doing with middle school and high schoolers. I was like, we're gonna burn stuff. So you guys can pretend you're not excited about it, but I know you are. I know, because there's something. So for me, a physical prayer practice is really helpful. Because if I keep it all up here, the rest of my body, the rest of my being, the rest of my identity can get cut off. So I invite you to enter into this time of contemplation, of exploration, and burning stuff. So you're gonna exit, once you get paper and pen, as you feel so led, you can exit out the back, and then you'll be able to come back in through here, I believe. I'll prop the door. So take a breath and come join me in this practice. Thank you, friends.